Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 42nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun. McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom-designed websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or...
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Real Racing USA back on the air, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Lower Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Angies. How you doing tonight?
I'm Bill Green, and if we get any lower in Tampa Bay, we'll be in Sarasota.
Who are you?
Jack Smith.
Oh,
still. Hi,
Jack. Still Jack Smith.
Jack's still recovering from the weekend.
Yeah, you got me going all over this damn state to cover racing.
That's
12
right.
Hours of racing. Guy's going to go around in circles for 12
no,
hours.
No, we're not even doing it because you walked in here 3 weeks ago and said, hey, guys, we should go do 12 hours of Ocala. And I said, well, sure, why not? I'll load my stuff up and go. I was the only one there. You guys were sleeping in.
Did Bill get his cookies this week?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I had fun. You did a really good job, Bill.
You did a wonderful job. And
wonderful
it was fun.
It was fun really to listen fun. To.
It was fun.
Thanks.
It was fun.
I was dead tired.
I worked hard, too. I was sitting in my living room with the air conditioner on.
Yeah, I know.
Getting update reports.
I actually worked that morning thinking, well, these guys will be there. I can sleep in a car a couple hours.
You didn't really think I was going, did you? I worked Friday night, man. I worked Friday night, too.
I got up, went to work at 7 o'clock in the morning so I could be done. Plenty of time to drive to Ocala and do everything. So I was up for, like, I think it was almost 38 hours straight before I could get a 2 hour sleep. And then I got right back up and did the Saturday night show.
You know, the only thing
I went to sleep.
You know, the only thing wrong with Ocala is it's 100 miles north of Tampa.
It is a ways up there. How many?
Are we done with the Bill Green pity party?
Yes, we're done.
Okay. I'm okay.
Moving right on.
Hey, we want to welcome the TBARA. Okay, there's 12 of them in the house.
And then the other half's out in the parking lot.
Yeah, the other half's out in the parking lot. Are they worried somebody's going to steal their cars? Because they're all sitting on the porch going, man, stay away from my car.
Who's that guy in that yellow shirt back there?
We don't have the music.
Yeah, one's bald, one's without.
Hey, real quick, Jack, we got to give Bobby Deal props for last night, man, recognizing us as media. It was really nice of him. I was proud.
Maybe if I throw him a bone, they won't talk about me anymore.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
I know. Bobby knows we're
all. Well, you know, 12 hours of Calabill. It was an awesome deal, man. Awesome.
And it was something I hope in the end turns out to be a historical thing that people look back on and go, they did it first. Because a short track, a small 3/8 mile asphalt track, doing a 12-hour event was no easy task. Wasn't an easy task for the 17 people who started that race and had three driver co-drivers each. But in the end, 9 of them were still running when the race came to its closing half hour. 5 of them were going to get paid. 4 of those people driving around that track knew they were not getting any money. And they also were pretty well aware that they were 300 to 500 laps down. I mean 300 to 500 laps down.
Yeah, they had to know.
And they continued to drive until the red light came on and they stopped after 12 hours.
Drove 11 and a half hours before there was a wreck, right?
Well, no, there was only 3 things happened all night long. One was we had an engine blow up in the second hour.
Right.
Then about 8 o'clock
that
in the morning.
I feel bad.
Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning, we had an axle come out of the guy running in 5th place. So the back axle came out. And then we finally had a wreck when the guy actually had a ball joint on the number one car.
The eventual winner.
He had a ball joint finally fall apart on that car after some 2,028 laps. And it fell off. He drove into the wall a little bit, went down to the X to go back to the pits, and clipped a guy coming across in front of him. He may have done that on purpose to stop the clock. But then he drove into the pits, got it fixed, repaired, came back out, still won by, I guess, 52 laps or something. But
he was up enough laps so they could do that.
And some folks came down from Tennessee, Decatur, Tennessee, and took a second.
Decatur, Tennessee. Now, that's a story in itself, and Jack kind of touched on it on the message board and on the website. They came down. They were dirt track racers with a mini stock and decided, hey, this will be a fun weekend. Let's go run 12 hours of stupidity. And so they came on down, put that mini stock, bought 4 new tires. That's all they brought with them. Put it on the asphalt and raced to a second place finish.
$2,500.
What about the guy who come into the pits and needed a pit stop and his crew was asleep?
Oh, yeah. That was a van. It was an old van. It was like he was the guy that was 538 laps down. I remember that.
Bill was excited about
it. And he drove into the pits at about 6 in the morning, drove into the pits because his tire blew. Bam! You hear him on the back stretch. He's blah, 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 down into the pit area. Drives up in front of his pit. Nobody's there to help him. They're all asleep inside. He had to get out of the car, go around, wake people up, get the jack going, get it going, and it took him about 12 minutes to get back out.
Next year, Mike Peters said that the owner of Ocala Speedway, he said next year they're probably going to run it like from 9 in the morning until 9 at night, have a party and a concert in the infield, and it'll probably be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, tell him please, and I'll be there at 6 o'clock to start
covering.
Well,
that was a good deal, but there was so much going on this weekend all over the state. You know, we started Friday night out at DeSoto. 22 super late models. It was the Jeff and Jeff show.
And Jeff Sloan, your pictures are at Late Model Digest, and I've been told they're going to get them in.
Schofield won the Triple Crown by 1 point.
And that was pretty cool. And
by 1 point.
But what a bunch of...
But the question I got is...
It's a whole drama
question. What happened at Bronson?
Well, before you even got to Bronson, I got to tell you, the whole Triple Crown was screwed up on night one at John's Sapricone's DeSoto Super Speedway. The whole damn thing got screwed up right then.
Because
when our buddy and good friend Robert Yoho, who had, he had this thing picked.
We had the fix.
He was going to be the Triple Crown winner of 2006.
No doubt about it. He told me that in the pits.
And just James Glover, took him out. And ended Robert Yoho's chances. Unfair.
Could you imagine if Showtime... You guys have seen Showtime in TBARA. He passed through there, too. If Showtime had won the Triple Crown, we'd still be hearing about it. His head would not fit through the door.
This would be the Yoho show. He'd pay us.
Oh, God. It'd be something different. But he's a great character. We love him, and we have a bunch of...
So Sloan wins the first one, Reginahan the second one, Anderson the third. But I mean, really, what do you think? What is your opinion on why nine cars at Bronson?
I can sum it up in two words.
I was told by a lot
of people. Citrus County, they only had 17.
He didn't ask
you. But that's 17 more than you had.
Bill, trust me. He didn't ask you. He asked me.
Yeah, anyway.
He asked me.
Yeah.
Two words.
I'm in the middle.
Citrus County.
I was told that a lot of drivers said they just prefer not to race at that track. I mean, it's just the track. I mean, that's what I was told.
But see, Citrus
Several
County,
did say
you didn't
want to drive that far.
But you didn't have the 22 that we had at DeSoto. I think you had one. It's maybe not even one at Citrus County.
I understand.
So,
you know, if you lived in Virginia, it would be like driving to Connecticut.
Yeah, but they showed up at 18 at Ocala.
Okay, for all you geographical majors, we're going to Connecticut.
And then they wouldn't let John Birdie announce up there.
And what's the deal about John? John getting blackballed from a couple of tracks, and he's really a nice guy, and he does a great job. I mean, he's working hard at what he's doing.
I don't know. He's Mr. Rogers. I don't know.
I mean, everybody.
Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, Mr. Excitement.
Mr. Excitement. He was exciting. What about Schumacher, man? Michael Schumacher finally going to retire. You know, this is going off out of stock car world. But 7 world championships.
He didn't get
Frank eight. Frank Kimmel is the only 8 championship winner.
Isn't that amazing?
Arca.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, Michael Schumacher, you know, Dale Earnhardt.
Who's won the most championships in the TBRA? Anybody know? I know Taylor Andrews had 2, I think, and Rodriguez had probably 3 or 4.
Probably Rodriguez.
So, I mean, those guys.
And then you traveled up to Lakeland.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, Lakeland.
He didn't travel up to Lakeland. He came down from Lakeland.
Came down. Well, it's still up there.
I was amazed. They had a very good crowd. They had about, I don't know, 2,500 or so, maybe 3,000. I don't know. There was a lot of people there. A lot more than I thought.
A lot of people at $25 a head.
I expected it to be a big flop on the fan side, but it was actually a very, very good crowd. It was a good deal.
There was a little noise being made there on the
Well, you ain't drawing us into it.
Why not?
No, because you draw me and Rick into it, so we're the bad guys.
That's yeah, right. They never talked about you.
You want to go there?
They never talked about you.
The whole race at USA was about the kids, and they didn't have a driver's autograph session, so everybody that brought stuff for the kids didn't get to give it to
them. Well, the stunt show was pretty cool, and I guess it took a little longer or something. I don't know. It was pretty cool.
What about Patrick Thomas, man? You know, they built that car specifically to win that race in Lakeland.
Well, he was 6 tenths faster than everybody
else.
They added 50 pounds to him, and he was still 6 tenths faster than everybody else.
And they found out why later.
And then they DQ'd him. But you know what? He owned up on it on the message board. Straight up. I mean,
There's still some stuff floating
around. What did they actually DQ him for? Does anybody know?
Illegal camshaft.
Illegal camshaft. What kind of camshaft was he using?
We'll have to climb up and find out.
We go 560 or something.
All right, Bill.
Hang on, Rick's taking.
He's talking to Dave Steele on the telephone.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Well, tell Dave to hang in there. He can't be on the air yet. We're not ready for him. He can just hold his horses. I don't care how good he is. I love Dave Steele. He hears that, he's gonna kill me.
So, Bill, they had a good car, a lot of fans there. They had a really good car count. They had relatively few cautions for Lakeland. And it was an amazing. The only thing that people could gripe about, I guess, was they didn't have the autograph session. Other than that, there wasn't too much to gripe about. It was a pretty good day.
You think so?
Yeah, it was a pretty.
The
good
autograph
day.
Session was the only thing missing.
Yeah.
Snowball Derby coming up, man.
Oh.
We're gonna have live reports. I'm headed to the Snowball Derby.
Imitating all day long.
That's right.
Kaintsville originator.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna have live reports from the Snowball Derby.
So we're here at Snake River Grill tonight. We got a car. We got six or seven or eight TBRA sprint cars out in the
parking lot.
Get some of them pictures up later on tonight.
How about a big hand for all those that took the time and the effort to bring their sprint cars to the Snake River Grill. We appreciate that. Thanks so very much. We know you guys do everything you can to promote your sport. That's why you are the best traveling series in the nation.
Hey, Bill Hunt, did you get these guys to get Pabst Blue Ribbon put in this place yet? That's your job. Sprint Car Bruce is here, too. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Bruce.
Okay, now, I've named a lot of drivers in my day. I've given some nicknames away. But I have to say, and I think all of you in this room would agree with me, that Mr. Bill Hunt, sitting here with the glasses and the white hair, looks like Father Time to me. And that's what I have called
Santa
him
Claus.
For a year, is Father Time. And I think that should be his moniker.
Remember Derek Strong?
I got other monikers.
Remember Derek Strong?
No.
You don't?
No.
NBA player that ran
Sarah? Yeah.
He was working with the guy who used to run the fuel.
Right. He's going to start racing ASA.
Competition 101.
Really?
Yeah. He's joining ASA.
He bought his way in there, too? I mean, he's gotten that good?
He's going to run the... Jesus, Bill. I'm done.
You guys wanted to... I told people I would be honest. And I
why don't
they
talk about him? Why don't they talk about Bill?
Well, they do. He wrecks in turn two.
No, that's not what I hear, but anyway.
Okay, we're going to go to break now, and then we're going
to
come back.
Oh, if we have to.
Just sprint car
to
culture.
Yeah, let's have some more fun.
The sprint car culture.
Sprint cars. That's what's coming up. Wing sprints. These pilots know how to make it happen, and we have got the sprint car lady in the house. Bye.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Mr. Bumper Sticker Rider.
Oh, Christ.
Never has one man written so much for so many. Without you, the world may never have known you can't hug with nuclear arms. And just like you, I too would rather be fishing, or square dancing, or even shopping. I owe, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
Speak the truth.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light beer, and I suppose St. Louis, Missouri.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race, and that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time, and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and building construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
All right. right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back at the Snook River Grill, and we are celebrating the TVARA, 25-plus years of this organization's existence, and they are having a grand time and doing a great job.
This weekend, the high banks of DeSoto Super
Speedway.
DeSoto Super
Speedway. Now, last time they were at DeSoto, did they go caution-free?
No.
Right? Oh, okay. Someday, they did it just recently. They did that. They went.
No, that was the longest sprint car race I think I ever saw.
Okay, let's not go there. Right now, joining us on the phone and right here live in the studio are president and past president of the TBRA, Taylor Andrews, on the phone. Taylor, how you doing tonight?
Great. How y'all?
Hey, we're doing a great job, man. And Don Ream sitting here with the microphone with us. Don, how are you up to, buddy?
Oh, I'm great.
You finished eating yet? I'm sorry about that.
No, I just got my food when you said I had to come up here and do this.
I had three guys tell me that they'd watch my food for me,
so I'm sure that it'll be okay.
Yeah, but one of them's Don Sapricone.
You'll have to listen for Taylor through the speaker, but Taylor said you eat all the time. Anyway, Taylor, take us through the early years TBRA. I don't know that, Don, were you involved in the very beginning or just when you finally took over?
Well, I was involved when Taylor was president and before that even, so...
Cool. Now, but Taylor, you were there kind of when they started this mess, and it used to run asphalt and dirt, and that was one of the things that there's only like two or three or four of you drivers, I don't know, still alive maybe, but even still around, that did all of that traveling back and forth, changing cars over to do both dirt and asphalt in those early years.
Now, I don't know about being still alive. I think there's a bunch of us still alive, but I was, Don was involved in the thing way before I was. I come along, hell, Robert Smith and guys like that, they were well ahead of my time. I just came along and bought a modified and became friends with Don, and actually Don probably helped me win as much stuff as anybody. He just kind of helped me along. He kind of accelerated what I was doing, and then I got involved in the politics of the thing and started running it on and off, and always relied on Don for, you know, information and advice is when I was running the thing, because he was always involved selling parts and tires and things of that nature, so it was just natural when it went to him that it would go that way.
Now, did you already have the situation as they do now where they go out and they write contracts with tracks and they actually have a deal, you know, in writing as opposed to just a handshake like they used to be years ago?
Yes, we started doing contracts, and that way we understood what we had to do, the track understood what they had to do, and it worked out real well. And like you say, we ran dirt and pavement for a long time. And the thing kind of cycled back and forth. You know, we'd have a little more pavement sometimes, a little more dirt. And when Will Cagle came along and took over East Bay, we kind of dropped out of the dirt thing, and that's when the pavement thing got real strong, and it's been going ever since.
Well, I tell you what, now, these guys travel the country. You hear about them left and right from the tracks. The tracks love it when the TBRA comes because they know what they're getting for a product, and they know they're going to get some people in the seats. As Rick will attest to, I believe DeSoto picks up a few.
Yeah, we pick up a couple people, a couple more people. Taylor, you won three championships?
Say that again a little bit. A plane just went overhead.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
You won three championships?
Four.
Four TBRA championships. What was it like progressing from driver to president back to driver?
That wasn't a problem. I mean, I was driving, and at times I'd be driving, at times I'd be, I also drove a lot of times when I was a president, so that wasn't a big problem. It was just something, you know, when it was time to drive, you just put everything out of your mind, you drove, and you came back, and you took care of whatever the club matters were when the race was over.
Were the problems still the same back in, you know, the 70s and 80s when they were running sprint cars as they are today when it comes to the issues of tires, fuel, and the basic commodities that deal with racing?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, yeah, that hasn't changed much. I mean, we used to sit through meetings, and I'm sure Don still sits through them, and we'd sit there, and there'd be owners in there, and they'd want to raise the purse $100 or $50, and they would say, now, and you're running this expensive race car, and it costs you a lot to go around, and you'd say, now, if we can get this purse up another $100, $150, everybody'd be all right. Oh, yeah, we'd be fine. So, yeah, we used to go through it. I'm sure he goes through it. I went through it, and it's still basically, you know, it's a hobby, but Florida, there's no question about it, is Florida, and the TBRA has got the best race car drivers in the country, probably. I mean, I don't think anybody denies that.
Well, it's the most popular series on Carnac.com. We've done surveys almost every year since 1998, and every year the TBRA is far and above the most popular traveling series in the state.
Don, whenever you took over in these meetings and things, did you realize, being the guy who sold the tires and the fuel and parts and stuff, that all these other things went on behind the scenes to make this show happen?
Well, I had been kind of involved, like Taylor said. You know, they asked my opinion about things just because I was at the racetracks all the time. And basically, that's how I inherited this job. They couldn't give it to nobody else. So they ended up, you know, well, you're at the races every week because you're there to sell parts and fuel and tires. And so why don't you just be president? So that's kind of how I ended up 10 or 11 years ago being the president of this organization.
Now, you're the longest running president, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess I'm the silliest or stupidest. I'm not sure which it is. Because
I think all the above.
Yeah, I think you're right, Taylor. You know, how it is. You can't give it away. They cuss you out and tell you that you didn't do the job right and everything else. But then nobody wants the job.
Is that the most difficult part of it? Just having to put up with the frustrations that people come to you with about the racing for that particular night at that particular track that something went wrong?
Well, yeah. I would say that's probably the hardest part.
I can remember when Don, the first couple of years Don was doing it, and people would come to me, oh, you need to take it back. You need to do this. I said, why? They go, because Don, you know, he's got he's just got too many interests involved in this, and he's just got too much to gain. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, the guy, that's what he does. He travels that circuit, he sells those tires, and he has a conflict of interest. It's a good conflict of interest, and you better hope he stays in there.
Well, that's,
and so far, it's proven to be correct.
That's probably true, because if you went away and you stopped doing the tires and the fuel and stuff, it wouldn't be a whole lot of incentive to keep things motoring along as well as they have been these last 11 years. I mean,
well, that's true. This is not a real paying job. So.
I started to say, I don't think you're getting rich. I ain't seen the Porsche in your yard or anything else yet.
Right,
so,
right.
I know you're.
We only have, in our whole organization, we only have two paid employees, and I'm not one of them.
Neither am I.
Either you, Taylor.
You weren't ever either, were you, Taylor?
No, I don't remember getting any money either.
Right, right.
Hey, I'm going to ask you two guys, because you probably know, which race sanctioned by the TBRA has ever drawn the most number of cars, so to speak? How many sprint cars have you gotten in one place?
Ooh, I couldn't answer that one.
See, I need Dick Freely here, don't I? Dick was
yeah,
the
we
guy.
Gotta call Dick for that.
Dick was the man.
Yeah. We've had, during speed weeks in the last couple of years, we've had in excess of 30 cars at some of the races during February.
That's cool. You're drawing a few from out of state and stuff that come on?
Yeah, we have, usually we have 6 to 8 cars that come from out of state. This year we've had 67 different drivers participate with the club.
Wow.
We've had 63 different car owners race in 2006.
Amazing. Awesome numbers.
Our average car count has been 25.75 cars per show.
That's a full field.
25?
Yeah. We've been drawing good cars.
Which place drew the most this year so far? I know you got a few left.
New Smyrna.
Well, like I said, Speed Week.
Oh, okay. And those are points paying races, I take it?
Every race that we run is a points race. That's how we make this work.
There you go.
Because we do have a good point fund at the end of the year. It'll be real good. The owners get the point money. The drivers get trophies.
Very good. I got to ask you now, there's no track owners listening, okay? What's the toughest part about dealing with the tracks themselves in these days, the 2006, so to speak, but what is the toughest part to deal
with?
There's
no track owners listening?
No, there's not. Just pretend there's not.
Oh, okay, just pretend.
Probably the hardest part is just working with 7 or 8 different racetracks and trying to accommodate their dates to make it work for them and also make it work for ourselves. We don't want to run back-to-back shows any more than we have to. I try to, when I set out at the beginning of each year to schedule races, I try to schedule them on an every other week basis. Well, that usually goes upside down pretty shortly just because of the this racetrack wants to run this time, and it works into their schedule, and things of that nature. And you have to kind of give and take, and that's probably the hardest part, making everybody happy, including the membership.
Was that the same with you, Taylor? Was it just the same kind of thing, dealing with the tracks?
Yeah, I'd say it pretty much. I mean, I had a lot of problems this time. We were trying to get the purse to go up a little bit. We'd have a little bit of trouble with the, of course, you know, a racetrack owner, God forbid, he don't want to pay any money, which I understand. I don't like to pay things either, but, I mean, that was a problem, and car count would be a problem at times and things of that nature. But yeah, mostly I agree with Don on scheduling. Scheduling, because each racetrack owner, you know, the date to him was with the date he wanted, and it was a problem scheduling dates. Sometimes they'd all want one date, and you just have to decide who you're going to give it to. And as you mentioned those contracts, as those contracts came along, we'd send the contracts out, and whoever signed the contract on whatever given date was the person that got that date.
Huh. Now, in the meantime, have there been times when you've had to change a date? Like, apparently the one at New Smyrna will be changing that date. Does that create a problem of trying to squeeze it in and find a place for
it? Well, in that particular case with New Smyrna, we only had one open date before our season ended, which our season ends on the 11th of November. So we only had the 4th open. Well, that didn't work in their schedule, so basically we had to cancel that show, which is understandable. I mean, you know, taking consideration of the circumstances. But we have, this year, I think we have had maybe one show that we have not been able to go back from rain or whatever and go back in and reschedule it and make it work for the racetrack. It may be 2 or 3 weeks or a little longer before we can get back there. But, you know, if it's a rainy night, I've started doing this, and it seems to have helped us a little bit. I've started, as soon as it looks like it's going to be a rain and we're going to have problems, I go to the office and I sit down with whoever's in charge. Let's get a rain date. And usually that scares it off. I mean, it's worked more so than wait until after it rains and then gets canceled, you know.
Does the length of the Florida racing season make it add to the difficulty and all of that?
Well, our goal, or my goal, and seems to be the club seems to like to do this. They want to run about 22 to 26 shows. So, you know, 24 shows is...
By the end of the year, you usually wind up with 24 or something.
Yeah. Right now, if we complete the three that we have left without any rainouts or anything else, we will have run 22 shows. We've run 19 so far.
So what? What is the most amount of shows you've run in a year?
Well, when we ran both the pavement, I mean, we ran 40 some shows.
40? Right. Wow. So I mean, how did it just progress down and go down to a lower number? Or?
When the dirt went well, down. You see, you had two separate deals. You had guys that raced pavement, and you had guys that raced dirt. There weren't a lot of cars going back and forth, or teams that had two cars.
So yeah, I went 5 or 6, probably.
Duke what, Taylor?
I bet there wasn't 5 or 6 at some time.
Exactly. So you actually had two complete series.
And there were two sets of points and everything, correct?
Yes.
You had a dirt champion, an asphalt champion,
yep,
and then
an overall. Right.
It's fairly similar to USCS.
Ooh, I wish dirt. You wouldn't mention that.
Well, okay, well.
Ooh, that was a bad, bad, bad word.
Well, it's
Rick.
Still similar, though. I mean, they run a dirt series, and they run an asphalt series.
Don, we have
same thing as you stacked
up. Don, we have in the house your two of your newest young stars coming up. You got Michael Smith and Eric McMillan. Where do you see the future of TBARA and sprint car racing on asphalt in Florida over the next, say, 5 years?
Don, before you answer that, I got to get Taylor off the phone because he's trying to deal with his crew chief and some sickness.
That's
stuff.
Okay. Go ahead. It's fine.
Are you sure?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, man. Good. As long as you're okay.
Right.
I just didn't want to hook you up and
get rid of
you.
I would say that, you know, the future for the TBAR is just outstanding. It's growing. The car count's coming up. The racetracks, they kind of, you know, we don't have to ask and beg and plead to get races any longer. We're fortunate enough now that we put on a good enough show. I've talked to promoters, and they tell us that when we're there, they make money. We're a necessary evil, be honest about this whole deal.
That's if what they say about us, too.
Yeah.
Well.
Said they don't pay us.
But if we don't make them money, they're not going to have us back. I mean, it's simple as that.
No, yeah.
And we seem to be able to get people through the front grandstands plus the back grandstands. There's a lot of series that go, traveling series, that they're back gate driven, and they don't put a lot of people in the grandstand. We're fortunate enough to be able to do on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Fans that are just fans that like to be in the pits and see things happen, they want to come to a TBI race because you can see a lot of what's going on in the stands or in the pit area, and it's an awesome treat.
But that, you know, that goes back to something we were talking about early. It's the mantra of the sprint car family. I mean, sprint
the culture.
Car race, the culture. It's completely different than the normal racing. I mean,
yeah, you've got a few feuds that have lasted, but most of the time, these guys all get along.
No, there's some people in this room right now, and at East Bay during the Winter Nationals, you see this. There's people who, they're sprint car racing, and then that other stuff, they call it stock cars or something.
Yeah, right.
They ain't got no time.
They tolerate it until the sprint car. I watch them in the grandstands, right. When I'm announcing the race, they'll sit there till the race is over and then leave.
Well, Taylor said it best a number of years back. He said, you know, the stock cars, they're not safe. Look at all the bars they got in them.
That's right. All the dangers. You could catch on fire. Anything could happen there.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this many times, haven't we, Taylor, that they weren't very safe. They got too many bars in them and all that other stuff. And, you know.
Well, plus you've got the lure. Let's face it. You got the lure of a sprint car. It's an outlaw sprint car. There's only a handful of people who will drive them. And that's the lure that people want to see. They're wild. They're fast. They're nothing like a stock car. They'll go around there and lap a stock car every two laps. They go around one. And that's basically what people want to see in those cars. They are fast. But they're not as dangerous as people build them up to be. But as long as they have that lure, they're fine.
And not to mention that when they do wreck, they're pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
That's only on
people come to watch.
Remember that day at the, when that sprint car it was in that run, What You Brung?
That was Kenny Adams.
Kenny Adams.
Yeah, Kenny Adams.
God,
yeah.
That was amazing.
The first one, yeah.
That was amazing.
It was unbelievable.
They've done a lot of wild things with sprint cars, but now the current sprint car chassis and so forth has evolved from what used to be the old super modifieds, I believe, back in the 60s. But really, in the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a few minor changes, but there haven't been a whole lot of changes, have there?
Not really. Probably the biggest change in expense, and it is an expense that everybody is experimenting with, is shocks now. I mean, they're just spending tons of money
on
shocks.
You're right.
Shock dinos and
right,
shock specialists.
Right.
Very expensive.
All that stuff.
Now, if you want to talk about exciting and crashing and everything, you might ask Taylor about the fairgrounds on a parade lap.
What happened, Taylor?
Well, I'm probably the only guy in existence that crashed on a four parade lap.
Four wide
parade lap. We're going down the fairgrounds, and Red Coons back me are banging wheels. And however they banged, that doesn't matter. That thing went upside down, and they were going so slow. They were about 40 mile an hour, but the thing just flipped about three or four times, and you like a bunch of beer cans just crushing on the ground. As a matter of fact, we went to Jacksonville, I don't know, it was a couple years later, and we're standing up there with Fred Leonard and a few guys, and they're talking about these weird things, and Don's standing on the trailer. He goes, well, I know this guy that flipped on the parade lap, poor parade lap, his owner didn't fire him, and all of you got to be shitting me. Oh, no, hell no, he said he's still hired.
Well, it wasn't a lie, right?
No, it was correct. But you should have seen a look on her face.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones that Taylor tells, and he's told it a couple times to me, but not to everybody here. Taylor, tell him about East Bay Raceway Park. It's the last lap. You're trying to win a race. You cut to the bottom, and remember when they had the old tires on the inside? You launched over one or something.
Oh, I got two. Yeah, two stories. Yeah, I was going through there. Melnick was leading the race. It was the last lap. And I went into turn three at the time, cut down, and that's before they had the wall down there. You're right. They had a bunch of tires down there. And I cut down and lost control of the car. So I thought, well, I'll just try to gas it up, save it. Well, it launched over the tires, landed in the infield, launched over the next set of tires, and came out in front of that one. They said that was a hell of a move. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I had no idea where that car was going this day. I'm still not sure how I made it through
just,
there.
Just hanging on and along for a ride at some point sometime.
You had your eyes closed, didn't you?
Oh, well, every bit of it. And hanging on for dear life, I figured, I don't know where this is going to end up, but it's probably not going to be good. But the second best thing was running with Sammy Rodriguez for the overall championship. And so we go, it boils down to East Bay. Now, this was a pavement championship, a dirt championship, the whole thing. I'm getting divorced. I get, my cars are locked up. And I go to a judge and I say, I really need this car back. And the judge says, all right, that's fine. So I get my car back. I go to the race. The last lap. Now, I'm leading Rodriguez. We're cycling about 5 or 6 points apart. The motor blows up and catches on fire. Slides up to the wall. Boom. Crashes. He goes on and wins the championship. Well, I get out of the car. I'm walking across the straightaway. I'm going to, you know, go and congratulate him for the job he did. And I'm laughing about it. And I forget who was the announcer at the time, but he comes up to me and he says, I got to ask you something. He says, how in the hell could you be laughing like this? You just blew your car up. You lost the championship. How can you be this happy? I said, well, I tell you, I said, I'm getting divorced. And I said, my wife gets half everything I got, and this is part of her half.
There you go. Left her half on the track.
Yeah, it's her half. She can have that motor. You get the good one. Well, Taylor, I appreciate you taking time to give us a call tonight. I know you're very busy with what's going on around you. How's the drag racing going on?
Oh, not bad. We're going out tomorrow night. I'm going out to run that. And then I've got the, I don't know if I told you, I got that dirt car. I've been running that Florida Sprint Car Association thing or something.
Yeah.
Where they run the spec head, and the little, they're the cheap deal. They run like a 550 horse motor with a, it's just a cheap deal, but it's just fun, just a dirt thing. I was up there Lake City a couple of weeks ago and ran up there for the first time and hit the wall a couple of times. I think I get my glasses adjusted a little bit. But other than that, I'm just messing with that, and I've got the two dragsters, and I'm still fooling around with that a little bit.
All right, man. Well, you take care of yourself. Thanks so much for giving us a shout.
Thanks, Taylor. You're welcome. We'll keep on trying to sell some Dodges for you, man.
Good. All right.
Taylor Andrews, ladies and gentlemen, the past president and a very colorful character and a great driver in the TBARA throughout its history. Don, I got to ask you, he was asking about the future and so forth. What are some of the short-term things that you believe need to be happening to help keep things alive and keep them motivated in the right direction?
Short-term, I don't know.
Some Ford Focus?
People are talking, you know, crate motors are the big thing and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I don't think that would work for you guys. But I'm just wondering what kind of things you guys are thinking
about. Well,
there
was another organization
bring the cost down
that started talking about crate motors. And before they even got started, it was, I mean, it just wasn't a usable deal. So
won't turn the RPMs and stuff.
Well, it just, you know, this is a different program, you know. If you want to run limited sprints, then that's probably what you need to do. But if you want to run sprint cars, then you know it's not for everyone. And I don't know. It's I don't think that's the answer to the deal, is to start putting crate motors in and doing things like that.
Yeah, don't we have a situation where if it ain't broke, don't fix it? I mean,
yeah, that's one of the things we've talked
about.
Well,
I would hope that we're still going in the right direction. I mean, you know, the response we get from the racetracks and the response that we get on here lately, we've had some pretty good comments on your website on Karnak and support for the club. And They talk about how we do things the correct way, so I would say that, you know, maybe we ought not try to reinvent the wheel.
No,
I have to just, like, one thing. You don't want to pay no attention to them people on that message board. Trust me. Trust me.
Well, some of them are saying nice things, so I'm gonna.
Yeah, but they're really confused.
Well,
trust me. They spend all their afternoon and evening.
No, the ones saying the nice stuff are the nice people.
Yeah, they're the good.
They are. We got some great people on the message
board. Don, what's the toughest thing you have to deal with on a Saturday night race or a Friday night race? I mean, What is the toughest thing?
Well, just trying to keep everything going, and we have a race director and tech inspector that does a good job, and that's relieved a lot of pressure off of me. At one time, and it was not because I wanted it to be that way, but I was ended up being almost like a one-man band and doing all the stuff, and you can't do that. I mean, it's just hard. We try to, you know, support his decisions and you know, discuss it before he just makes a decision. Sometimes he'll come to me and say something about, well, what do you think about this or that? And but just trying to make the whole night work and be as professional as we can be with our show, which we take a lot of pride in doing, and trying to make everything work out and just, you know, put on a real good show. That's probably the hardest part. Not one any one little thing, I wouldn't say. It's just trying to make the whole thing come together and be a smooth operation.
Well, it's working quite well, and we're just like all the folks are giving you pats on the back and telling you about it. It's something that I'm like, you know, Jack and Rick here. Just if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's definitely a special show when you guys show up. There's no doubt about it.
It's
when
awesome.
You guys show at the track, it's a special deal, and everybody knows it.
My favorite one of all time is the 35 lap special race at Sunshine Speedway, where we had no red flags, no yellow flags, no nothing. It was 5 minutes and 22 seconds for 35 laps, and people that had paid the extra $10 to get into this special race were like sitting there going, that's it? I paid 10 extra bucks. I got 5 minutes. What's the deal?
Yeah, but what'd Bonnie say?
Oh, she was like, thank you. Have a nice night. Y'all go home. It's 9:15. You know? But we appreciate you coming by. We got so many drivers to talk to. I don't want to go too long.
Yeah, we'll be coming back here in a few minutes with some of the young guys,
we're
Michael
bring
Smith
up.
And
we'll start with the youngsters. You guys figure out by age who's youngest and come on, and we'll go by age all the way up to the oldest driver in the house.
All right.
Okay. Don't go
that
far. We'll
Paulie's
be right back.
Last? You already started
Paulie's not
the
last.
Oldest one, right?
Yeah. We'll be
thanks
right back.
Thanks a lot for being on, Sean.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically to do. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton, Andrews Dodge.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks, Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, you know, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome back to the Snook River Grill. Taking short breaks here. We got a lot of drivers in the house, Rick, and a whole bunch of cars in the parking lot.
A lot of drivers in the house. Cars in the parking lot. No Jack at the table.
If you live close by the Snook River Grill here on Highway 64 in Bradenton, you need to get here because after the show tonight, they're going to fire all these cars up and drive them back up on the trailer.
I heard we were going to drag race down 64.
Oh, that'd be all right.
That'd be good.
Cops would probably watch. Hey, listen, we got some young guns coming in. You better clear me out. I know Mr. Smith. So,
and
keep
Eric
straight.
McMillan, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, how about yourself?
Do they call you Eric Mac?
They got a couple ones.
Well, let's not go there. Michael Smith and Eric McMillan. Now, Michael, are you part of the historical Smith family from Central Florida?
No, I'm not.
Okay, you got to turn the button on. It's okay.
It's on your gas pedal.
He's a youngster.
No, I'm not part.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I just wanted to ask a question. Because we got a lot of Smiths that race around Central Florida and have been for years. So it's awesome. Well, now, how did you guys, did both of you kind of get into sprint cars by other means? Did you come from mini stocks and work your way up, or just go out and buy a sprint car one day?
Hold it. Before you even answer that. Now, you asked him about the Smith family thing, right?
Yeah. He said he wasn't part of it.
Did I step in the wrong?
He said he wasn't
McMillan?
Part of it.
McMillan. Did you already do that?
Eric McMillan.
I was going to get back to the McMillan family.
Okay, go ahead.
But I didn't want to...
Well...
I wanted to get into...
Are you part of the famous...
I didn't want to family
issue.
Okay.
But this young man is part of a famous family. Larry McMillan, the famous announcer at Citrus County Speedway.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Larry. Larry's one of my favorite guys. I always ask Larry, hey, Larry, you dead yet? I'm just giving him a hard time. But he's a lot
of fun.
Don't
pay no attention to that
he's
crazy
a lot of fun.
Man over there.
Larry McMillan's a blast. Anyway, we'll start with Mr. Smith. How did you get into sprint car racing? Give me a quick synopsis when you started, where you got there.
When did you start racing a sprint car, Jack? Oh, wrong sprint car.
Well, I was looking for a place to move up from go-karts, and I went to watch a couple races, and the sprint cars were the fastest one there.
Oh, it's the...
Speed!
Yeah, but this is probably somewhere along the Hammer version. So I remember he did the same thing. He jumped right into a sprint car. What about yourself, Mr. McMillan? How'd you get there?
Me and Michael both, we started out over at Dirt Devil Speedway racing go-karts, and we kind of moved out the same way and kind of went from go-karts straight into sprint cars. So
How did it, from the go-kart, there's a lot of different things happening on that dirt compared to the asphalt in a sprint car. How did you transfer that information and make it work?
Well, it really isn't a whole lot different. Besides, you're still driving in oval, and just faster and more brake.
Faster and more brake. There you go, guys. You've been doing it all wrong. The youngsters are going to teach you. That's awesome. That it really is to be going from, you know, running on dirt go-karts at Dirt Devil Speedway and jumping into full-blooded, you know, horsepower sprint cars. What was it like the first time you drove out on a track in a sprint car?
Well, actually, the first time I went on the track, it was raining. So we were just breaking in a motor, so that was a whole different ballgame.
Okay,
there.
Well, the second time then. Give me a break. Work with me.
I know it was a whole different ballgame than the go-karts and a whole lot more horsepower you got under you.
How many laps did you kind of coast around and got to burp it before you really got into it and tried to see what it felt like?
Well, I went over to Citrus where my grandpa's at, and you know, we just kind of went out little by little and just kind of felt the car out, see what it was going to do, and see how I was going to relate to that. So,
what about yourself, Mr. Smith?
I practiced at Orlando Speedway, and I just gradually just put more accelerator in it.
Keep getting more and more.
How old are you guys?
I'm 17.
I'm 17 as well.
Okay.
How long did it take before you were comfortable to race with other cars?
My first race, I kind of stayed towards the back, but after that, I moved up some.
When's the first time either one of you started on a pole?
I don't think I've ever started on the pole, but the first time that I was in a race, I started on the outside pole.
Your first race?
Yes.
So what was it like? I mean, it had to be a thrill when you first, the first time you lined up in that four wide salute to the fans.
I just kind of stayed where I moved up and tried not to hit anybody.
Yeah, you've heard you Taylor talking, so yeah, that's a good idea.
I remember the first time I took the four wide, it just reminded me of a kid, you know, kind of growing up around East Bay and watching, you know, World of Outlaws coming and everything. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
To be sitting in the driver's seat to actually do that.
Right.
And what was it like when you completed your first race?
It was kind of like a relief. Like, got the first one out of the way. Now it's time to, you know, start seeing what this thing can do, you know?
Go ahead and jump in here, Mike.
Yeah,
you got something to say.
Keep going right back and forth.
Just go for it.
It's a relief to get out of the car for the first time because it just takes more out of you than anything else.
Does it? The mental concentration and the actual physical, I mean, it puts a little G-force on you.
How intense it is.
You as a teenager, how intense is it?
Come on.
I mean, compare it to something.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember in high school you had the final exams?
Right.
Thinking of the last minute studying you did and multiply that by about 100 billion.
That won't work for me.
I skipped school.
I'd go.
Yeah, God, you think we got here because we are educated. You got a wrong idea.
But I can relate.
How about the first time you got pulled over, then 100 billion?
Okay.
I like that one. Yeah, that works. I've been pulled over a few times. I had 11 tickets in 12 months when I was 18 years old.
I don't believe that.
I do. Lost a license 6 weeks.
So now you're, you know, I mean, this is both y'all's first season this year?
Yes.
Yeah, this is actually my first season ever in a sprint car. But.
And it's almost over. Have you learned a lot?
I've learned a lot throughout this season. It's just running around all these great drivers.
What is it like, though? Do you have the respect of these drivers, or is it still tough?
Do I have the respect of you guys?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah, they get to get.
A couple of them you must have let by.
That's your chuckles.
You got mostly thumbs up.
Yeah.
Do you have problems ever with the hair getting down in your eyes when you're racing?
No.
No?
The headset keeps it up there.
Okay. I was just worried that it might, you know, sooner or later kind of work this way around, you know, vibrating and stuff. What's the longest race you guys have run?
Last race at DeSoto where you sat in the car in the red.
That was a long race.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to agree on that one.
You guys done a 35-lap race, I imagine, by now, maybe a 50 or no?
Yeah, we did I did the 35-lapper, yeah.
Okay. So did I.
Okay. That's pretty intense, and things happen so fast. Did you realize how fast the other guys were those first few races out there, that you were on the bottom and they were going boom, boom, by you pretty quick?
Yeah, I mean, actually, the first time I went out and I thought I was getting busy and these guys were rolling by me. I'm like, this is gonna be a long run here.
Well, I know that you guys are learning fast and you're doing a great job. We're glad to see some new blood coming along and new young talent showing up in the TBRA because it's a great place to learn. A lot of really great drivers have touched base at TBRA at one time or another, whether it been the old dirt series or the asphalt series as they came through town.
Yeah, Bill, we've had a lot of the kids here, and these guys are far from kids that we've had here. Them. But they're youngsters, first time really out there racing in the automobile. But, you know, the guys we usually have on here are racing trucks or late models or stuff. You guys are in open wheels, sprint cars.
Slow.
Where do you want to go? I mean, a lot of these guys are going NASCAR, Winston Cup, whatever. You know, you're in the open wheels. Where do you want to go?
I mean, NASCAR, I guess that's where it's at, you know. But, like, growing up around Florida and, you know, watching the World of Outlaws come here, I wouldn't mind running World of Outlaws at all.
Sprint car racing?
I agree. I would love to run World of Outlaws or NASCAR. I don't even mind running an IndyCar.
There you go. He kind of looks like an IndyCar driver,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
IndyCar is just as quick and fast, but you're really loaded to ground.
So next year you're going to go out to TBRA again?
Both of you?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you guys running for Rookie of the Year this year?
Yeah, he's actually leading the points right now.
Aha, uh-huh. I thought you were. I wasn't sure. I want to make sure I didn't step my foot.
Every time you bump him?
Well, that's cool. That's
What are your favorite? One other question. What are your favorite tracks? What do you guys like? Right. Where do you like to race?
I'm gonna say my favorite track's probably Orlando because I won that heat race there, and it's just an all around smooth track, and it makes for good racing.
I agree. Orlando is one of the best tracks, and it's just very smooth, and you have a really great race there.
There you go. Who's some of your sponsors, Art?
Right now we got Turtle Southeast, and just before I start, I mean, without these guys here, you know, it wouldn't be possible at all. We got Turtle Southeast, Easy Sweep, and also Suncoast Paving, and those guys have done worlds for us so far.
Michael?
My main sponsor is Autoway Ford of Brooksville, and they're just helping us out greatly here.
Autoway Ford, man. That's a good sponsorship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you actually run a Ford?
Yes, I do.
Oh, cool. Not a whole lot of people running Fords. I know that.
There you go. Look out for the 9X if you're a Ford fan.
I'm telling you.
And, Eric, you're in the 11X?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this weekend at DeSoto Super Speedway. Well, thank you guys a lot for being on the show. Eric McMillan, Michael Smith.
Yeah.
Great
job,
guys.
Wind up
thanks,
on the
sir.
Thank
you. Thanks a lot. You're both very well spoken. Good deal.
Hey, let's not go far. Come back just after this. We're at the top of the hour. At the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to start pumping them out. We got some of the best drivers the TBARA offer.
8 o'clock, the Superman.
That's
Dave
right.
Steele.
David Steele coming up in about 7 minutes. Don't go away.